Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte. This is episode 1 for November 5th, 2006, Millionaire Crank Calls. Net at Night is brought to you by Dell. For great laptop and desktop deals, visit Leo's Picks page at twit.tv/Dell. Net at Night is recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. Well, good evening to you. It's the very first Net at Night. Here it is, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 0200 Greenwich Mean Time, UTC. I'm Leo Laporte in California, in Canada. It's Amber MacArthur. Good evening, Amber.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
Your idea was to do this to beat Strombo.
Whoa. I don't need that kind of reputation. No. I just thought, you know, it was a good idea that he was doing it on radio and then also streaming it live. And I thought, hey, you know, if anyone can do a live podcast, we should be able to figure this out.
Strombo is George Strombolopoulos, who hosts a very important and popular hour-long news show in Canada called The Hour, right?
Yep, it's called The Hour.
And he also has a radio show Sunday nights on CFRB in Toronto at this time from 9 to 11. And Amber was listening one night and we were chatting and she said, we should do this. And that's how this whole thing started.
I should know now, Leo, never to bring up good ideas to you because within weeks we're doing it.
I am an implementer. Well, how's your week been?
My week's been great, you know, just still trying to figure things out at the new job and come up with a new idea every day. So I'm working on City News International. Yeah, it's tough, but you know what? The internet's a big place and there's always great stories. So it's just a matter of taking an internet story and actually making it a television story in a minute and a half and making it interesting. So the editors, I'm sure, love me.
You do a great job. I mean, but you're right about the editors. There's about 1,000 cuts in the first 30 seconds of the show, and I don't know how they continue on. After that, you have a lot left over, though, right?
Yeah, a lot of content, you know, in terms of what stuff that I'm following online. There's so much. I never get to even talk about, I would say, I don't know, maybe a tenth of the stuff that I'm really interested in is goes into the show, and the rest of it just kind of goes into, who knows, delicious, I guess.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about here every Sunday night. It's also going to be a podcast. It'll initially take the Inside the Net feed, because this really is kind of Inside the Net. It's just a little different format. Eventually, I think we'll give it its own feed and keep Inside the Net, maybe for interviews and so forth. We can do interviews on this. I mean, we still have Skype. We still have the ability to talk to people, and I know we will. Also, what's going to be a little different is that as we're doing it live, we're able to do it through TalkShoe. And TalkShoe is pretty amazing. I knew about TalkShoe, I think a year ago. I saw them at Podcast Expo. And it was always kind of percolating in the back of my mind as a way to do a live call-in show. But I didn't have anything to do on it until you had this idea. And that's when it kind of clicked for me. What, you know, you've seen Talk Show for the first time last week. What do you think?
I think it's great. I mean, it's amazing to be able to chat with a bunch of people and then to also allow them to call in and just be able to even, you know, have a very interactive conversation. I think for all of us who spend so much time on our computers, that's really what we want to be doing. I mean, we can't sit still anymore, can we, Leo? We're a little too amped up to be just sitting still and just doing one thing at a time. So I think it's great.
Brian Schilliger is with TalkShoe. He's the guy who I arranged this with. In fact, he's in our TalkShoe client right now. I should explain a little bit about how you can interact with this show. First of all, of course, you can listen to it, as you probably are right now, either as a podcast on Tuesday. That'll be the high quality version that's produced exactly the same as Inside the Net was produced. Amber on Skype, me locally. And so that will be the same. But you could also listen live Sunday nights if you go to TalkShoe, TalkShoe.com, and you can listen to the live stream. Or you can get involved. If you download the TalkShoe client, you can chat with us. And right now there are quite a few. There are 26 people on the phone, and then maybe twice that number listening. Or in the chat room, I should say. I don't know how many are listening. And then if you want to call in, you can also call in. You have to have a TalkShoe pin. That's free and easy to sign up for. And then you could be one of the people calling. Now, we're gonna take calls later in the show, right, Amber? I mean, I hadn't really talked about this with you.
Yeah, you know what? I think we should definitely take calls. You know, in some ways, this seems like it's like a big mashup of all the podcasts and shows we've ever done.
It is.
It's all come together in one, which is kind of fun because we're able to bounce around a little bit, have people call in. I mean, just for example, I have Steve Chen, one of the founders from YouTube, on Skype right now. And I was just thinking to myself, wow, we should randomly start calling these people if we can ever figure
idea.
That out.
Why don't you call them and see if we can put them on? You know, while you're doing that, I just want to say hello to Brian Schulliger, who is the CTO at TalkShoe. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Leo, how are you?
I'm great. And he's coming in through the TalkShoe client. And that's how calls will come in. And so that gives us the ability to really take a lot. In fact, you know, there's 26 lines open right now. That's a lot more than I could ever take on KFI. Well, we're glad to be part of TalkShoe. How's the site? Is it holding up so far?
Yeah, it is. I heard you say that things were a little slow.
Yeah, I'm having trouble getting into the client right now, but I just arrived at a page that says, due to the overwhelming demand for Net at Night Talkcast, we are...
we have our own page!
we're not available at this time, but it says if I'm a member, I can try to get in, perhaps. So I'll just hold off for a second. Maybe there's a bit of a demand.
And Amber, if you have your... if you tried to get the client up once before with Firefox, is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Safari now, so I'm trying it out.
We'll figure it out. And I think from now on, I think Amber will get into the room before everybody else does.
And Leo will be happy I'm not in there because he knows that I just start chatting and then he's lost
She
me.
Pays no attention. She's so ADD. She pays no attention to what's going on. She's chatting.
It's true.
Anyway, Brian, we want to thank TalkShoe for your hospitality and allowing us to break your system, or at least try.
Yeah, well, have at it, guys. This is great. We appreciate you using it.
So far, so good. Nobody's died. And as far as I can tell, the system is... working fine. We have a lot of calls coming in. You had a lot of show stuff, material that you weren't able to use on your show this week, Amber, including the woman who tried to sell a mummy on eBay.
I know, but you know what? I might be doing that story this week because it's just so interesting. Yes, it seems there was a... I know. I got to try to do some of these more interesting stories and figure out how to actually make them more visual. But yeah, a woman tried to sell a mummy on eBay, and it's a pretty amazing story. She's not going to get charged by the police, but you aren't allowed to sell a mummified human skeleton. It's illegal to do that, and somehow...
Where did she get this? Is it an Egyptian skeleton?
You know, what ended up happening is someone, I think, gave it to her. It was dug up by a house, in a house near to where she lives. And then she thought for some reason, it would be a good idea to try to actually, get rid of it on eBay. I don't really know. So let's see. It's from a friend who works in demolition, who found it at a Detroit school. And, he gave it to her and, you know, she was looking for some cash. And I think there was one bid for $500 and then she had to take it down, unfortunately. But one of many odd things to show up on eBay.
eBay is just wild. I wish somebody has... There seemed to be for a while, there were pages that were dedicated to the weird things on eBay, but I guess they come and go so fast, you can't keep it up to date. I think that's a fun thing to somebody should do, you know, a great Web 2.0 site. What I found...
Yeah, that would be fantastic. That's a great idea. Some sort of mashup where you could see just the odd things that have been found there. Because, I was reading today on a website about how some woman was buying wallpaper on eBay, and that just seems so odd to me. And I don't know what I was doing on her site, but maybe that's even more odd.
People sell everything. I know a woman who used to sell her old clothes on eBay and get a fair amount of money for them. I mean... Instead of taking it to Goodwill or putting it on consignment at a thrift store, just sell it yourself. Our chat moderator in the KFI chat room, Dan, is a gadget junkie. Whenever he gets a new gadget, he just sells the old one on eBay, and he recoups a lot of what he spends. It really cuts his costs down.
Oh, I'm sure. And you get addicted to it. It's just like so many of these sites that are out there. It's, you know, I can't even go near it. I mean, it's like YouTube. I'm totally addicted to YouTube right now. I'm addicted to MySpace. I'm addicted to Delicious. And, you know, I don't know. There's too many of them.
Do you want to try calling Steve? Now, let me think how we could do this. I think in order to call Steve Chen, why don't you chat me his, maybe I have him on here, actually. No, I don't. Why don't you chat me his Skype handle, and then I can add him to the conference. Because I can't add him otherwise. Don't chat it in don't chat it in the public TalkShoe chat. Do it on Skype, if you will.
Yeah, I will. No problem. I don't think we'll be friends anymore if I.
And by the way, here's my favorite billionaire's Skype handle.
Yes, exactly.
We're going to send. By the way, Amber is using a headset, the Plantronics headset. But I think what we're going to do. Oh boy, nobody'd ever guess that Skype handle.
Okay. Now everybody's wondering what it says.
Oh my gosh, it's pretty obscure, but that's what you have to do. I mean,
I sure hope that's Steve. I think. Let me double check. We could be calling some random
person. Who cares? You know, let's just get anybody on here. Amber is using the headset. It's unfortunately sounded fine when we used to do Inside the Net, but I think we need to get you a better one because she's at home. Yeah, that's him. I'm going to add him right
now. It is him, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm
going to
say, hi, my name, you may remember me. Hi, this is Leo Laporte. You have no idea. I'm a friend of Amber's. Amber, see, everybody knows you. Hey, congratulations, by the way, on being the Toronto Geek of the Year.
Yeah, Geek Personality of the Year. I was pretty surprised with that one. And I was very excited. And then after about half an hour, I started to think, is this a compliment? I'm not sure if it's a compliment or not. But yeah, it's good. If you're going to be in any category of personalities, you might as well be in the Geek Personality.
I think it's a real compliment. I think you should be proud of that.
Yeah, no, I definitely am proud. And you know what? It's true. The more I hang out with just regular people, the more I realize that I am a bit of a geek, Leo. And that's why I spend so much time while you're on vacation sending you text messages and links and talking to you in Google Talk.
Here I am in the middle of the ocean. And you know, you pay the internet access is fairly expensive. Well, Steve Chen added me. I don't know if that means he's willing to do it or not. Shall I try calling him?
Yeah, let's do it.
That's kind of wild.
It's kind of like prank calls.
It is, isn't it? All right. Let me see if I can add him to the conference. We'll try to get him in here.
I'm going to blame it on you.
You say hi first. He knows you. Steve actually credits Amber with being, I think, one of the first TV people to show YouTube on TV, right?
Yeah, I've actually watched that segment on YouTube a while ago, and it's quite hilarious because I'm talking about it, and we look very surprised. Oh, this is amazing.
Ooh, you can upload your video. So easy.
I kind of regret it now because if anyone watches it and thinks it's within the past few months, they'll think we're pretty naive, Leo.
This was a year ago, well over a year ago that we did it.
Oh, yeah, it was well over a year
ago. He's on another call, he says. Okay, well, we'll see if he can do it. All right, he says he's on another call right now. Let me get the chat back up here. Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, there's so many people on my Skype list right now who I think, you know, over the next few Sundays, we should start calling randomly.
Yeah, me too. I'm just looking down at all the names I have on here. If anybody is online on Skype between 9 and 10 at night Eastern time, you're liable to get a call from us.
Was there ever a show or anything where people that you just randomly call people?
A lot of DJs do that in the morning. It's not, I think there are rules about whether you can record and put it on the air. But see, with this, I think we would just have to say right away, well, we're live on TalkShoe. And if he said no, I don't know what we'd do. I think we'd have to edit it out.
Yeah, we would probably have to edit it out. But, you know, for anyone who's on Skype, they can easily just send us a chat message. And that's the nice thing about it and say, leave me alone.
Yeah, right. Just do what Steve just did. So I just sent him a note saying if he gets a chance before the end of the hour. Steve Chen is one of the founders. Actually, I didn't realize this until I read the article about YouTube being sold. It wasn't his first startup. He had a very, very, very successful startup before he did YouTube.
Oh, I didn't know that either because I thought he worked for PayPal.
Yeah, it's called PayPal.
Oh, okay. Oh, you mean, okay. When you say very, very successful, you actually mean...
I mean PayPal.
Very, very, very successful. Okay.
He sold PayPal for... he and the founders sold PayPal for billions of dollars. And I think Chad and Steve were both principals. I was just playing Chad and Steve's... We just got bought by Google, a video from YouTube. That's pretty
funny, it's such a one. Everybody should look that up on YouTube. You can see Steve Chen and Chad who are talking about being bought, and they're just giddy.
Let me play a little bit of it here.
Hi, YouTube. This is Chad and Steve. We're the co-founders of the site, and we just want to say thank you. Today we have some exciting news for you. We've been acquired by Google.
We're billionaires!
Thanks to every one of you guys that have been contributing to YouTube, the community. We wouldn't be anywhere close to where we are without the help of this community.
That's pretty neat, isn't it? I think that's kind of neat that they went on and actually made the video.
That is really awesome. I know, it's just nice to see them actually using their own technology because they haven't done much on YouTube. If I owned YouTube, I'd be putting up videos all the time. I'd be a terror to the community.
You are anyway without owning YouTube.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, I'm curious, and you know, if we do get Steve on here, I would love to ask him a question because I've been wondering, I don't know if you read the news about Google actually giving people a cut of the advertising revenue when they're uploading videos.
I did see that,
Google Video. Now, is that going to actually transfer over to YouTube, or I don't know, how are they going to,
Here's the deal so far. It happened because of the Mentos guys. You know, remember the Mentos guys put their video on Rever, and the word on the street was they made something like $30,000 on Rever.
Yeah, I heard 50 even 50? By the end of it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So they announced they were going to do another Mentos fountain video, and I think probably what they did is they shopped it. And Google agreed to give them revenue, but it was part of Google's announcement that Google Video, and this is important, Google Video would be doing revenue sharing with other providers. But now here's the thing. The YouTube acquisition is not final. And YouTube, and as of now, it sounds like YouTube's going to have its own identity within Google. So I don't think it extends to YouTube necessarily. I don't think they've made an announcement in that regard.
Interesting. Yeah. I've been getting some emails from Rever, from people at Rever saying, hey, you should put your videos up on Rever and finally make some money off them. And I haven't done it yet because I don't know. Every time someone tells me to do something, I refuse to do it.
Really? Are you like that too? I thought that was just me.
I'm a little bit like that.
I'm so anti-authoritarian. Exactly. Somebody tells me to do something, I just do the opposite.
Exactly how I feel. So they tell me to put it up on Rever to make money, and my first reaction is, no, I don't want to. I don't want to make money.
I'm very bad at leaving money on the table myself. Actually, Google, the YouTube acquisition may really be a shift in Google's way of doing business. Scoble points this out in his Scobalizer blog. He says that this kind of might have broken the dam. Google used to have the not invented here philosophy. They did it all themselves, right? They wrote almost everything. Then they bought Rightly. Then they bought YouTube. And now they're buying, they just bought, who was it? They just bought JotSpot. What? Joe Krause's company.
Yes, I know. Isn't that, JotSpot's amazing.
JotSpot's a wiki. And we use wikis. We used wikis to produce Call for Help. I know you used a wiki. In fact, did you use JotSpot for a torrent?
No, I was using, I think it's PB Wiki.
That's right. You were using another wiki. Similar to JotSpot, where it's a hosted wiki. You don't have to set it up. You don't have to have your own web host. In fact, JotSpot was great. Go to JotSpot.com, or it ends up being Jot.com, and sign up, and you've got a free wiki. And it had a lot of nice features. Somebody pointed out, I think it was on this week's Twit, which, by the way, will go up later tonight. We recorded it at sea on the cruise. But somebody on that Twit pointed out that one of the key functionalities of JotSpot is it has these little plugins, like a spreadsheet plugin, which might integrate well with Google Spreadsheet.
Oh, neat. That's very cool. Yeah, I used to play with JotSpot quite a bit, and I remember using it, but I haven't checked in with them in a while, but I'm sure they've just improved immensely since day one.
It's very impressive. And mostly, the advantage they have over just a do-it-yourself wiki, I use PM Wiki, which I love, is that these built-in, you know, they have a word processor. Oh, a word processor, too. You know, Scoble says, and I think he's right, watch out, Microsoft. The Office division is about to get eaten alive by Google.
Oh, Leo, you know how I feel about Google. This past week, I couldn't leave you alone.
She is, for a long time, her Google Talk, you know how you put the special message on there, was download Google Mail for your phone.
Oh, that little application is amazing. And all you have to do if you have a mobile phone is to point the browser to, I think it's gmail.com/app. I have to double check that. Let me do it right now. But and then you can get this application to run Gmail on your phone, but it runs in a totally separate application that's Java. And it looks beautiful. The interface is wonderful. And it's just like having Gmail on your cell phone, but not through the browser. So it's not this ugly, clunky interface.
You said, I don't need a BlackBerry anymore. I've got Gmail on my phone.
I know. I've been very excited about it. In fact, I just took a photo of my phone. This is really geeky. With my iSight camera on my
MacBook.
Backwards.
I knew you used iSight because it's backwards.
It's backwards, but I thought it would be funny because I was wondering if the more geeky audience would be able to look at what's on the phone and tell what it is. So it was kind of this game. If you went to AmberMac.com, could you guess what actually was on my Samsung A900?
I'm holding it up to the mirror right now to see. That's so
funny. See what it says?
It says, from Cal, nah. It's got an email. Oh, but I guess it doesn't have the full email address on it. So that's okay.
All it is I have calendar notifications from my Google Calendar.
I see it.
Yeah, going to my, pointing to my phone to give me a text message saying Net at Night is happening. So this was my roundabout way of like demonstrating that. Thanks, Leo. I need some congratulations because most of my friends aren't going to understand the technology involved in that. Say,
Amber, why is a Samsung backwards on your picture?
I know. And the truth is I actually used a widget to, I didn't really take a picture with the iSight camera. I used just the capture widget to capture what exactly I was looking at.
Oh, neat.
So there was a lot of stuff involved in that one tiny photograph.
She's so proud of it. By the way, just in case you're wondering, Samsung backwards is GNU SMAZ. Okay.
Just... Oh, you know what, Leo? I don't know.
No, that's geeky.
That's super geeky. It's just it's getting geekier all the time. I haven't used this yet, but I saw this service, I think on techcrunch.com, that's called amberjack.org.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting name. You don't have anything to do with this, huh?
No, I don't. But
it's not an homage to Amber?
No, it's not. I don't have time to actually create an open source project to capture tours of your website, despite what people might think. But yeah, it's neat. So what you could do with this is if you want to create a tour of your website and to allow people to understand all the different pages that are there and just get an overview of the site, then amberjack.org allows you to do this really easily. You just plug in URLs to different pages and it creates this nice tour that you can upload to your website.
Wow. So it's images, the tour?
Yeah, you get screenshots, you can put in some text, and then it's almost like just creating a slideshow. So say, for example, Leo, when you have a sitemap on your website and you know people go in there and all they see is this sort of tree graph. Well, what you can do is kind of turn that into a visual experience for people so they understand, hey, all these things are on the site without actually clicking, because maybe people are getting lazier and lazier all the time. They want to just view moving images.
You've always been a supporter of sitemaps on websites so people know what's there.
Yeah, I'm a big supporter of the sitemap, just so you know what's on the site and you're able to just go through all the pages. And but I do like the idea of a guided tour as well. If you don't want to go through all the pages, or if the site's a disaster and you just want to, you know, have a good sense of what's there. I mean, Google does a fantastic job of these tours of their different applications. They're not as interactive, but all of their services, like when I found out about Google Mobile, when you go to the site, google.com/mobile, you get there. And I mean, just the whole experience is just fantastic.
Speaking of tours, I also have a link. By the way, all these links will show up on the website as both show notes. And we're going to figure out some way to get these magic, delicious links up there as well, kind of spontaneously. And also at Net at Night, which is the website, which is natn.tv, natn.tv, and on Amber's site, ambermac.com. And also, because it's their delicious tags, it'll show up on your MySpace as well. We don't want to tell people how to the tag, though, do we? Because otherwise we'll get flooded with, or do we?
Yeah, we could tell them.
Okay.
They're smart, Leo. They're going to find out.
That's true. There's no way to hide it.
There's no way to hide it.
So if you have suggestions for us, we'll, you know what we should do, Amber, is you and I should have a private one, and we'll tell people. If you see a great website or something cool that happened on the net, a cool video, something that'd be good for the show, tag it on Delicious, NATN, and it'll show up and we'll see it.
That'd be great. I spent a lot of time actually today have you ever used widgetbox.com, Leo?
No, what's that?
That allows you to get widgets up on WordPress and TypePad and MySpace. So you might want to use that when we put up the feed.
We're using WordPress for... I've always liked WordPress, and I just never had occasion to use it. So we're using it for the Net at Night site, and it really does a great job. Oh, so it's just a bunch of different widgets. Cool. And there are some good, delicious widgets. I will incorporate the tags into the site. Speaking of site tours, I uploaded a link to... Automator.us, that's Sal Segoyan's site. You know, Sal was on the Geek Cruise. I just got back last night from the Geek Cruise. And he showed me a very cool Google Map trick. This is for Macs only, I'm sorry to say, using Automator. It's an Automator script that will allow you to make a spoken tour of anything. He's got one for Silicon Valley and Paris on his site. And what it does is it runs Google Map. I'm sorry, Google Earth, not Google Map. Runs Google Earth. So you have to have the latest Google Earth installed. And what it'll do is say, and now we take you to the Apple headquarters, and it zooms into Apple headquarters. They talk a little bit. And now we take you to HP. And it's a tour zooming in automated of anything you want. And you can write your own text. It'll use the text-to-speech feature in OS X, but I guess you could also record stuff if you wanted to. I thought it was a very neat little automator script.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is very cool. So you had a good time on your cruise, Leo?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We went to the Western Caribbean, and I saw Mayan ruins. Weather wasn't great. We had a storm on the last day. We also recorded Twit at sea with some great people. Steve Stecklow, who is a senior specials writer for The Wall Street Journal, and he gave us some real insight into the stock option scandals that are going on right now. Naomi Pierce, who's an old friend, Sal Segoyan's wife, actually, but she's been in the web business for a long time, is really a great person. Andy Inaco, who's one of the funniest writers I know, bar none, but he's a tech writer, writes about Macs for the Chicago Sun-Times. And Randall Schwartz, the Pearl Wizard. And so we really had a fun Twit. I've finished editing it. It'll upload and post tonight. But it's the first time I've done a Twit with none of the regulars. So we'll see how people feel about that.
Interesting.
I'm a little nervous.
I bet. Did you hear while you were at sea, Leo? I'm going to start saying that all the time because it sounds so neat.
I'm always at sea. Yes?
You're always at sea. I made fun of you on my blog today. I'm sorry. But
what did you say? Wait a minute. I missed that.
You are the king of geek cruises.
I did see that, actually.
I don't know if you saw this Google Earth image that they found out of Alberta.
You did already a segment on this on City News International on the woman on the rooftop. What else have they found?
This is recent. This is in the past week or so, and that was the Dutch sunbather in the Netherlands. And this one is a huge Native American face on Google Earth that they found in Alberta, Canada, and it's this very cool looking face that is out in the middle of nowhere, and it looks like he is wearing an iPod, and it's very neat. So this ended up on Dig and on a bunch of different websites, and also I think on Mike Pegg's site. I think he's the guy who does the Google Earth and Google Maps mashup site in Ontario. We had him on Call for Help before, and it's also on cbc.ca/thehour as well. They have a link to it. So a lot of neat stuff being found in Google Earth.
So do you think, now a lot of these pictures in Google Earth, these satellite photos are fairly old, but I guess they take new ones all the time. Do you think people are actually doing stuff to create these pictures, hoping that they'll be, I think, I'm looking at this iPod picture. I mean, first of all, it would have to be fairly recent. And do you think this might be a Photoshop edit. You think that's real?
Well, it's interesting because, as you were mentioning, I did a piece on City News International, and I was kind of worried because I didn't know when I came across an image if it was real or not.
Right.
And there are communities of thousands of people who just monitor what's on Google Earth and they try to find things like this. But how do you really know if it's real or not? So I think this one might be real, but it's I'm just going on total 100% intuition.
You can, from the Google Earth blog, you can get a KMZ file, which is a Google Earth pointer file that'll take you to that place in Google Earth. I just wonder if it really, it's just a swimming pool. It just kind of looks, I don't know. Do you think somebody actually made a giant? I mean, this has to be giant. Look how big this is. It would have to be huge.
I know. It's amazing. I mean, you've seen all the shots of the crop circles and other things like that. And I know even outside of Toronto, there were some people just putting swear words out in the middle of wheat fields.
But just to give you a sense, I mean, in order to get this to be really visible, according to Rich Boakes, this Apple did it themselves. It's 1.4 kilometers. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
You can't just
put
a sign
huge on
your roof. I mean, you have to really... Pretty amazing. It may take a while, though. As the Google Earth blog points out, it might take as many as 2 years before the satellite photo gets into Google Earth's, you know, database.
Yeah, it does take a while to get in there. But, you know, when you start to really look at Google Earth further and further and just see what you can see on Google Earth, it starts to scare you. At least that's my feeling about it a little bit. I mean,
it's spying on you?
I don't think it's spying. I mean, I wouldn't be worried about people necessarily spying on me, but there are some images like the Dutch sunbather that they reported a few weeks ago where, you know, you can get close enough to, you know, sort of see where people live, and I mean, you can't necessarily see their faces or anything, but the technology is probably just going to get better and better. And I'm not usually scared of technology at all, but I do think it's a little creepy that a woman was sunbathing in the Netherlands, and now, you know, her picture is all over the internet.
You can't tell it's who it is.
No, but a reporter actually in the Netherlands went to found her house, found out what house it was, went to her house and slipped a picture of her underneath her door and left it for her. Now, I'd be a little scared when I came home if someone had done that to me.
That's pretty awful. She must really feel violated. She was, they say, topless, although I don't know how you can tell. But
you can kind of tell, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Now there's a lot of Google searches happening right now.
Well, she's topless. Well, you didn't tell us that.
Believe me, this is not porn we're seeing here.
No, it's not. But you sort of can tell a little bit.
And you said that somewhere in Alberta, you can spot hills that look like the face of an Indian.
No, that's the same shot that we were just talking about. I just put it on Delicious right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's tagging as we speak.
I'm tagging on the fly as well.
Let's. Do you want to start taking some phone calls?
I think it's 9:30. I think we should do it.
I think we should do it. Let's start with the Giz Whiz Guy. Where are you calling from, Giz Whiz Guy?
Calling from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
A fellow Canuck. Well, we do say the tagline is from Canada, California, and the world. So we've got Canada covered now.
There's only two of us here, Leo.
Three with the Gizmos guys.
Oh, you guys sound great, and this is probably the next best.
Uh-oh. Did I click something bad, or did he drop off? He dropped off, it looks like. All right, well, we'll take... Pardon me.
I think he was going to say it was the next best thing to...
to sliced bread. Let's talk
we'll
to Avila... Fain, I think, is how you say that. Is that Avila Fain? Hello? All right, going to hang up on Avila Fain. And this is all new to me, remember. I'm just learning how to use this here. How about, our good friend Snowball. Hey, Snowball.
Hello.
Snowball's, hey, Snowball. Snowball's also Canadian, so now you've got three.
Wow. We're taking over, Leo. Watch out.
I feel like an honorary Canadian. I go up there a lot, 1 week a month. So, what's up, Snowball?
Not too bad. How's the geek cruise?
Oh, it was very nice. Very enjoyable. I'm glad to be back, though. The boat rocked a little bit. We hit some stormy weather. And the other thing is I went with my mom. And I love her dearly, but, a week in the same room with your mom, and, you know. I felt like I was 12.
Aw, that's cute, Leo.
That is cute.
What can we do for you, Snowball?
Actually, I wanted to talk. I know you guys mentioned on this internet before about Vox, and I just wanted to know what you guys thought of now that it's been released.
That's right. Vox went public this week.
I don't know what you guys thought. Yes, sir.
Snowball has a Vox blog. What's the name of your Vox blog?
SteveSaylor.vox.com.
SteveSaylor.vox.com. Amber has one post in her Vox blog because she's got a real blog. But
I love Vox, though. It's, and you use it a lot, Leo.
I actually been using it, yeah. In fact, I created a WordPress blog to move everything over, but I realized for a long time, you and I have talked about this, there's something about Vox that really, I hadn't posted in a long time and that made me want to all of a sudden start posting again. And I finally realized what it was.
What is it?
Because when I created this WordPress blog, it felt lonely in the WordPress blog. You know, even though you know people are reading it and there's lots of comments, it doesn't feel like a community. And the thing that's unique about Vox is this concept of neighbors and kind of a shared blog space. And it feels like it's, even though ironically, there are probably fewer people there, at least until it became public, it felt much more alive. Does that make sense?
Leo, you're starting to scare me a little bit.
My blog, it's alive. It's alive.
So WordPress felt lonely, but Vox, you feel like you've got friends.
Yeah. I know that sounds strange.
I totally agree with you on that one, Leo.
No, I'm just bugging you.
Steve gets it. He says he understands. Hey, Snowball, good to talk to you. Thank you for joining us in our very first live podcast.
Not a problem. Anytime.
All right. Take care.
Hi, Snowball.
Take care. Bye.
Oh, it's just saying someone just messaged on my MySpace account saying that he's listening from the UK.
Cool.
He's, yeah.
It's 3 in the morning there. Thank you.
Yes, I know.
That's aggressively Ned at night.
And then there's someone else saying that he has been waiting for the show to start from Australia. So it's good to have him there as well. I know. It's neat to be able to sort of chat with all these people from all over the place.
Your MySpace page is Amber MacArthur. So it's myspace.com/AmberMacArthur. And
yeah.
People can comment there as well.
Yeah, since I can't get into the client just yet, but feel free to leave a comment or a question there. I've been playing around. Leo, are you playing around with your MySpace account at all, or you kind of just let it?
You sent me somewhere. Again, this is a lot of the way I communicate with Amber is just reading her away message on chat. And briefly, you had on your away message, newmyspace.com. What's that?
Oh, New Mindspace. Oh, that's totally different. That is actually a group here in Toronto called New Mindspace. And what they do is they do events in Toronto and New York and other cities around the world that are really like, they don't like this word, but flash mobs. And so the idea is that they get a bunch of people to organize themselves on the internet and then meet up at a certain location and do things like have a pillow fight or, blow bubbles or who knows what it is. Maybe, it could be just some random event like a party on a streetcar, and so they've been quite successful in doing these events pretty much all over the place.
They had a trick or train subway party, I see, and capture the flag Toronto.
Yeah, there was a giant game of capture the flag in Toronto, so they've been quite successful in doing some of these things, which is, I think it's neat. I love when people are going online and they're randomly just organizing an event and then meeting up with a bunch of strangers and doing something really odd. So I've been kind of following what they've been doing for a while.
Speaking of events, there was a big event that neither of us got to go to last night, the Vloggies.
I know, and I found I was actually nominated for a Vloggie, but no one told me, so I don't know.
Congratulations on the nomination. It's good you didn't win. It would have been embarrassing.
I know.
Let me just run down. There's two choices. There's a Judge's Choice Award, and there's People's Choice Awards for the Vloggies, and I can just run down some of them. Of course, take a guess who won the best People's Choice Award. I mean, it shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah. Z Frank?
Z Frank won the Judge's Award for Best Male Blog.
Okay.
Very close. And Ask a Ninja won People's Choice Award for the Best Vlog.
Oh, that's good.
I'm not going to go make the same mistake I made on Twit when we did it from VloggerCon of asking what the hell a vlog is. But it just shows you how there really isn't any definition of what a vlog is, because Ask a Ninja is clearly a video show. It's a podcast. Best male blog was Josh Wolf. And Josh actually is still in jail.
Yes, he is in jail.
So he gave his acceptance speech, and Scoble's got it. In fact, I'll see if I can pull it up for you. His acceptance speech from jail. That's just got to hurt. Why did Josh go to jail? He wouldn't turn over his tapes, right?
Yeah, something about turning over his tapes. And I think he's in San Francisco as well, as far as I remember.
Yeah, he's local. That's where the Vloggies were. So he, and I think rightly so. This is the People's Choice Award, got the best male vlog. Best female vlog was Nontourage. I don't know this one. Julie Damon and Sarah Atwood. Not familiar with that. Alive in Baghdad, best group blog, and rightly so.
They definitely deserve to win. And I just talked to Andrew Barron from Rocket Boom earlier tonight. I don't know if he won, but I know Rocket Boom was nominated.
I don't, let me see here. I don't see Rocket Boom, actually. Maybe it's, there are a lot of categories. I could go on and on and on. The comedy, this is the judges, I'm sorry, the People's Choice. Comedy was Ask a Ninja. Community is Minnesota Stories. Education, Wine, Library, TV. Entertainment, Fiction, Galacticast. Rightly so. I thought that was audio only, though. You're supposed to watch it with the video. Beach Walks with Rocks was nonfiction. This would be a good place to go to find out more about vlogs. Dignation won Best Tech Vlog.
Oh, that's who beat me.
Dignation beat you? Son of
yeah, because we were in the same category.
Oh, well, he was there, so Kevin was there to accept his award. Oh, yeah, best favorite news vlog, and this is from the judge's choice, was Rocket Boom.
Okay. Great.
Favorite tech vlog, judge's choice, Bleeding Edge TV. I don't know.
Oh, then I wasn't in the same category as Dignation.
That was the one you were in?
Originally. I was in the tech category, but I don't know, Leo. It seems a little bit like I don't know, some of the categories were kind of mixed up a little bit, because literally I didn't even know at all. Someone emailed me to tell me, so I don't know. I don't know how long ago they had planned it or anything.
All right.
Wow, I'm getting messages for you in my MySpace, Leo.
What are they saying? Let Amber talk more.
At the end of the show, you should restart your client. And then someone else has written that they're listening from Louisiana.
That's great.
He says, I'm so weird. There's nothing special about Louisiana.
Thank you.
Interesting. His name's John.
Thank you very much. I'm so weird. Let's see. Any other vloggy? Do you consider Command End a vlog?
You know, I don't know if it's just a video show. It's a video show. I think, you know, all these names, I don't know if we need them. It's just a show on the internet. And if it's video, right, it has pictures. And if it's audio, it doesn't have pictures. That's the only way I can describe it. And I also think that, you know, the Webby Awards has been around long enough where they're really giving out all the awards for the best websites. And I think they're going to have to pick up on the categories of video shows online and audio shows, because you need some sort of bigger organization to be running these awards, because I think a bunch of little awards have happened recently for vlogs or video podcasts. So hopefully I hope it gets wrapped into the Webby Awards, and then they do something a little bit bigger.
Oh, who's that?
Hi.
Who is this?
This is Kurt again.
Hi, Kurt.
What I was trying to say is either of you still using Newsvine?
You know, we really publicized Newsvine when it came out. In fact, we publicized it before it was even available publicly. And I still read it. It's on my RSS feeds, but I haven't posted anything there. Have you, Amber?
No, I never really, I haven't posted anything there. I never really even did at the beginning. I go there to read content, and that's pretty much it. I don't really have a lot of time to post on places except for my own blog, but I'd be curious how they're doing, Leo, and that's not a bad idea for the future. Maybe invite some people who we interviewed on Inside the Net back.
See how it's
onto
going.
The show.
Yeah.
Yeah, see how it's going.
Yeah, well, we tried to invite Steve Chen, and he still has 13 minutes to call us back, so I would love to get Steve Chen on our first episode. That would just be fantastic.
That would be great. Do you want me to bug him, Leo?
Yeah, go ahead, bug him. He said he's on another call. Just say call Leo, and you know what my handle is. It's kind of an obscure handle, as is his.
Yeah, I will definitely do that.
I saw, talking about Newsvine, of course, Newsvine is a social news site that was somewhat like, well, you know, at first we thought it was more like Dig than it really ended up being. It really is a place to read news. Dig is more a place to look for links. And now that Dig has branched out into so many other categories, news is really a small part of what, I don't go there to look at news. I go there to find oddities and interesting things. I'm sure you can get a lot of your material from Dig, though.
Yeah, I actually have been using Dig a lot more recently. You go back and forth with some of these services, right? And I find, just since I'm doing an international news show, Dig is great because it tends to have a bunch of interesting videos. And
you know, Kevin and company got in a little bit of heat this week over changing the algorithm for getting stories to the front page. I think that they felt that too small a number of people were dominating the front page, and too many inconsequential stories were getting to the front page, and they wanted to make it harder. The net effect of what they did, according to some people, including some top Dig posters, was eliminate the top posters from the front page. A little controversial. There's an open letter to Kevin and Jay, and I don't know if it's a tempest in a teapot or if things will settle down, but initially I think the reaction was pretty negative. Meanwhile, of course, a lot of attention on the News Corp attempt to buy Dig. News Corp, Rupert Murdoch's company that bought MySpace some months ago, tried to buy Dig, but Dig set its price at $150 million, which ended the negotiations pretty quickly. Meanwhile, Reddit gets purchased by Condé Nast. Reddit is Dig competition, very similar to Dig. Condé Nast, which publishes Wired, and now has Wired News, which bought Wired News, bought Reddit. So Reddit is off the market, now part of the Lycos family. Or I'm sorry, the Condé Nast family. Do you think Dig will get sold?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think that obviously there's a lot of interested buyers, and I think it's just a matter of, the team there, Kevin and everybody, deciding if they're ready to let go of it and be bought by someone. I don't know. I would be tempted to sell it personally if it were me. But
what do you think now? Just, I mean, let's speculate. We both know Kevin very well. And of course, I worked with Kevin for a long time before he started Dig. And I haven't talked to him since the acquisition or attempt by Murdoch, although he sent me a chat saying, yeah, that's true. They asked for $150 million. What if they got offered, say, $80 million and turned it down?
I would never turn $80 million down for that.
I mean, more power to them for thinking they are worth something. But, I mean, that would have made Kevin at least $40 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel about it, is that, you know, it's all about timing right now, because I think some of these sites and services that are out there is that they're not necessarily going to be so hot in a year or 2 years. I mean, look how much obviously we're early adopters, so we're changing all the time. But I think there's a point where you have to, like, you know, if you want to be sold, you have to actually, you know, just accept that you're not going to get $100 million or $80 million that much, and just, you know, be happy with, I don't know, 80, 40, whatever it might be. But that's just my opinion.
Of course, the famous story is the Friendster story, where they turned down, I think, a $50 million offer and then tanked and became worthless, essentially.
And that's what I would worry about. I mean, there's got to come a point where you just decide that, hey, you know what, this is, you know, I might be able to make an extra $20 million, but I'm not willing to risk it.
Yeah.
Then again, I don't know. I mean, I would think too, though, just because obviously Kevin's poured his heart and soul into this and worked on it day and night for so long, it also might be hard to let it go. And maybe he doesn't want to do that. And that's a whole other scenario.
Well, and there have been other offers for Dig all along. In fact, very early on, there was a kind of not a great offer, but an offer for Dig. And I remember one of the issues Kevin had was, I'm not willing to sell it and give up control of it. And that's what, for instance, when Google bought YouTube, they said, you're going to preserve, YouTube will preserve its personality. It will stay YouTube. It's not going to become Google Video. And I think that's a big issue for Kevin. I think, you know, we should get him on and ask him. But I really think that you're right. I think that control, it maybe is more important to him than money at this point. Although, boy, it's hard to turn down, you know. I mean, how much, maybe Rupert Murdoch only offered $10 million. But I can't think that, if they offered $10 million and Dig comes back and says, no, we're worth $150 million, then that's too far apart. They had to have offered at least $75 million. I would say they had to have offered at least $100 million to be even in the ballpark of, well, no, we want $150 million.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a boy, that's hard to, man.
I think it's just, you never know what's going on in people's heads during these times. So it could be a situation where, you know, Kevin has so much more information about what
is
happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should get him on. And speaking of people who sold at the right time, Steve Chen and I have been chatting. So he is going to get on and join us, Leo. He just got off his call. Yep. And he wants to know how we're going to do this. And I said that we will call him and conference him in. And he is ready to go.
Right,
so we
well,
have one of the founders of YouTube, which is exciting.
My dream come true. We're calling him right now. We'll see if we can get Steve Chen on the line. There he is. Hey, Steve.
Hi there.
Hi, Steve. It's Amber.
Hey, guys. Let me plug in a pair of headphones.
That'd be great, because we are getting a little bit of a speaker feedback. So just so you know, Steve, we're starting, and this is a new show. You're on the first episode. You were on Inside the Net back, I think, in March of this year. Amber and I have kind of transmogrified Inside the Net into a live show called Net at Night, which will, again, be a podcast still at the same Tuesday release date as Inside the Net. In fact, it's going to take the place of Inside the Net. But we're also doing it live, so there are several thousand people listening live to us right now, and also callers, although we're having trouble getting the caller functionality to work. So we won't take calls while you're on, but we're so glad you could join us.
Great. Caught me by surprise. I was just getting ready to start answering the large group of emails that have been accumulating this week.
Well, just so you know, Steve, I hope you're not going to... We're going to randomly call people, but we promise we're not going to do this to you all the time. But I saw you online and thought we just wanted to say hello.
And congratulations, more importantly.
No, thank you very much.
One question we did have, and we were just talking about the fact that Google's announced they're going to do revenue sharing with Google Video. Will that apply to YouTube as well?
Well, sort of during this phase with the, as we're trying to get antitrust clearance, we haven't been able to discuss any of the integration, the planning for integration post-close. Much of Google Video and YouTube is still being run independently. However, we have been discussing at the very high level some of the things that we want to do. And I think that's something that, we want to explore, but the sort of the first item on the agenda for the coming months is really just going to be integration, integrating into all the different frameworks that Google has already set up.
So you have a lot of work ahead of you.
No, definitely. But it's been very welcome to talking with the Google team and just opening up all the different opportunities that, can exist with integrating both ways of YouTube videos onto the Google applications, as well as in reverse, integrating more of Google's applications within YouTube. So, powering search, for example, is an obvious one.
So how much sleep are you getting these days, Steve?
Well, I think if there are any sort of visible concerns about not getting enough sleep for 12, 18 months, I'm probably showing them now.
We play a little bit of the video that you put up on YouTube saying, hey, we just got sold. We were at the beginning of the show. We just thought it was really cool that you guys did that. That just really showed your roots.
Yeah, and I think it was so that day in particular, I think it'll always be fresh in my mind. It was Monday, and it was 5 o'clock. We announced a deal with Universal. We also announced deals with Sony, BMG, as well as CBS that day. And then on market close at 1:30, we announced the acquisition by Google. And then there was a 30-minute conference call with the financial analysts. And then after all that, we had to be up at about 4 or 5 in the morning. There was just a lot of shuffling back and forth, driving at about 110 miles per hour on the highway, getting back between the legal offices and then back at YouTube for the press call. And then finally, we decided to take the company out to TGI Fridays to get a few drinks and celebrate. But, I thought it was important, Chad and I both thought that it was important that no matter what, that I think the YouTube community deserved just a personal voice, video sort of message from Chad and myself telling our community why we made the acquisition, and really wanted to get that out there, that this was for the community, and we hope that it's going to benefit the community.
Yeah, one of the things I like the most about that video is that it was probably the first time that I ever saw the founders of a company who just did a huge business deal, and it was so uncut and so in the spirit of YouTube.
Yeah, well, it's I think there's definitely going to be a lot of concerns from the community about, and I think they're valid concerns about whether or not we're going to be changing things, whether or not we're going to be changing sort of our policies with how we censor materials. And, I think there are always going to be dissenters, but we wanted to just really straightforwardly, in a candid fashion, get out the message that nothing's going to change. This is going to help the community, and it's always been our number one focus. When we talked back in March, too, it was always our focus to concentrate on the community, and whenever we make decisions, if it's something that hurts the users, it's something that we don't want to do. And so we wanted to get that message out that nothing changes with this Google acquisition in terms of what our original goals were.
You guys must have, this is not the first time you and Chad have been through an acquisition like this, the PayPal acquisition, similar, I'm sure. Did the second time around, did you do anything differently than you did the first time around?
Well, I think with the first acquisition, it may have happened in the same sort of storm-like fashion that this one happened in, but we weren't at sort of on the front lines of it.
Right.
And we certainly weren't involved with the meetings with eBay. I did have an opportunity to talk to Roloff, who is on our board, who was the CFO of PayPal at the time of the eBay acquisition. And very similar, but this time it was definitely different when we're actually participants in the room rather than just sort of hearing it after the merger happened.
So do you get like a big check like in your inbox? I mean, how does that
What does that look like?
Leo and I are just drooling right now.
No, I'm not. I'm sure Steve will concur. There are downsides to this as well as upsides to that. I mean, it's not all, you know, that big check isn't necessarily golden.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I think, and I'm actually speaking on behalf of probably Chad, myself, and a lot of the folks at YouTube, is that everything is, you know, from the first day that we sat down at Denny's to talk to Eric, you know, in a sort of in a subtle fashion,
in
trying to
Denny's?
Stay away from the line.
In Denny's?
That was where we originally meant to talk about the deal. We wanted to meet at sort of a neutral area where people would recognize Eric and myself and Chad. So
you didn't want Valley Wag to see the three of you together.
Yeah, good point.
Wow.
So we picked the Denny's, and that was, I believe, on a Tuesday night. So between Tuesday night and Sunday was the entire sort of the first meeting to the close. But all along, I mean, even past that, with all the integration meetings of just going back and forth between all the various teams from, you know, Google AdSense, the Google video team, all the different teams that are part of Google, I think we've been really just concentrating on sort of what the next 3 to 6 months are going to look like in terms of what gets prioritized, what kind of integration projects we're going to work on first. That I don't think on the personal side, and this probably speaks true for the last 18 months, the personal side of my life has probably suffered a lot now. Yeah. So I haven't really thought about what we're going to do with the money.
Do you get a check, though? I mean, does it, like, show up in your mailbox? How do you cash a check that size?
it's going to be coming out through, it's a stock transaction, right?
So. Okay.
PayPal, Leo.
Of course, PayPal. Yeah. What am I thinking? What would the PayPal commission be on $1.65 billion? There was some speculation that the Universal deals and all of those deals were kind of prerequisites to the sale. Was that the case?
I don't think so. I mean, we've been talking to... sort of independently, actually, because on that same day, Google also announced two content partnership deals. And we just saw this as, and it's going to continue too. I mean, if anything, what this acquisition will allow us to do is open up the resources that are available to us to sort of hasten the number of content partnership deals we can do. Because, it's sort of fundamental to what sort of the next evolutionary step of YouTube is to get this licensed content. And so to be the sort of one-stop place on the web to find content.
There was Mark Cuban had a long post that came from the Faux List of the behind-the-scenes negotiations. I don't want to get a comment on it necessarily, but accurate, inaccurate? Did you laugh when you read it? Let's put it that way.
Mark Cuban. The only thing I read about Mark Cuban was sort of 2 days before the acquisition acquisition.
This came out October 30th, just a few days ago, on his blog Maverick. He said, I first saw this posted on the Faux List, and it was kind of just a step-by-step description of the negotiations from a so-called insider. Well, obviously, you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with it.
That's the good response.
Yeah. So, Steve, I just have one last question, and then we can let you get back to your emails because we kind of stalked you a little bit. And we didn't even plan this, actually. We just it seemed like a good idea at the time, and now people are going to start rejecting my Skype invites. But how have things changed for you since the deal actually happened in terms of just your day-to-day life?
Well, I think personally, it's... you know, that this whole experience has been it's been completely surreal. I mean, the fact that even from the very beginnings of, you know, of doing something that seemed like it was sort of an obvious application that was being that was lacking in the space, you know, just a way of sharing videos. It just seemed like it was a very obvious evolutionary step to sharing pictures, sharing videos, you know. So when we started this, it was always like, why? You know, we thought that we were doing something cool, something that people would use, but at the same time, because it was such a simple idea that we just thought, wow, we can't be the only ones that thought about this. And sure enough, over the last 18 months, there's been a lot of sort of competition and this whole birth of user-generated content as well as distribution of professionally generated content online. And I think throughout all that, we've sort of established ourselves as the leaders in this space. But all along, I mean, it's always been thinking, you know, why us? We don't have the same resources that some guys like Microsoft, Yahoo, Google has. You know, we just always just kind of try to persevere and try to do what we can do best. And even now, you know, without the deal closing, I think my mood or sentiments will change drastically after the deal closes. But even now, it's still thinking, wow, is this really happening?
It's pretty magical. I think that when you have an idea whose time has come, everything seems to just click. And it feels that way from the outside for you guys. It just went boom, 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 and you could do no wrong, it seemed like.
Well, if I were to attribute sort of percentages of the responsibility of the success of the company, a large portion of it, I think that the dominant portion of it is going to be the timing and the right idea, mm-hmm, you know, and, mm-hmm, and somewhat of the implementation of the idea. I mean, certainly don't want to underestimate sort of the usability, you know, not having to have all the different codecs installed, not having...
Oh, you guys did it right from day one, and that's what Amber observed when she showed you off a year ago, is this
but, you know, it seemed obvious at the time, you know? It just seemed like, you know, it seemed like it was an engineering problem that needed to be solved, but it didn't seem like... But we always had the intention of simplifying the experience, but a lot of other people also saw the same thing. You know, we also saw a lot of a crop of Flash video, automatic transcoding stuff, doing similar things that YouTube was doing. So all along, I think what this illustrated, it was just that there was definitely a market there that was ready, or maybe that was ready for, you know, with the bandwidth, broadband in homes these days, with the plethora of devices that can actually capture video. It just seemed like it was the right opportunity for a site to actually take advantage of that.
And I think you can't, you know, in terms of the usability side of things, that was one thing I remember looking at all these sites that had come out where you could upload your videos. And for me, it was just, you know, I remember the first time I went to YouTube and how simple it was. I mean, it was just all of a sudden, I'm sure it seemed very obvious to you. It does seem very obvious to me. I wasn't smart enough to necessarily do it. But, you know, a lot of people just can't follow through and it starts to get more complicated. But even throughout the whole process, I think you guys have stayed so simple, and even the site today, I don't want to say it hasn't changed much, because it has. I mean, there's new features, but, you know, as far as the principles of ease of use, that's definitely stayed intact.
No, definitely. I think one thing that I like to always point out is we still have a video up there from the very beginning of the while we were in Chad's garage in Menlo Park, and we had the sort of original sort of mock-ups of what the watch pages and what the front page is going to look like. And even until this day, there's been a lot of work in the sort of back end to make sure that that'll scale, you know, from the day that we launched to now. But as far as the actual user interaction, the user facing aspect of the site, not much has changed. You know, a lot of that has remained constant. And it was sort of a gamble on our part to sort of assume that we would know what the users would want to use and how the best interactions with videos were. But I think the gamble paid off, because we haven't saw the need to really drastically alter those pages.
Steve, congratulations to both you and Chad. We're really thrilled for you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks joining us on our first episode. We're really thrilled to have you on.
Great.
Thanks so much. And don't kick me off your list, Steve.
Gee, his name is no longer on my list. I don't know why.
All of a sudden, Steve's been away for months and months and months. All right. Have a good night, and good luck with all your emails. And I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you. That's Steve Chen, of course, one of the two founders of YouTube. And they just sold to Google about a month ago for $1.65 billion. I should have asked him if he had any advice for Kevin Rose.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a good question.
No, poor Kevin. Let me try. We're way over time, by the way. It's already 7:10, and the poor geek talk guy wants to get on the air here. But let's see if we can, just to see if it's working now. I'm told it might be working now. Just try some calls real quickly here. Sean Smith, you're next. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Leo and Amber. This is Sean from Geek Riot.
Oh, well, we're taking over your time, aren't we?
Oh, you guys just completely crashed the server, so we'll see if the riot happens tonight or not.
Sean has a show that was
behind the riot.
Sean has a show that was on at this time on TalkShoe, and very kindly moved it. I didn't check, and I should have, and I apologize, Sean. Very kindly moved it back an hour. But maybe you'll get more listeners who are still hanging out. So we'll invite everybody to go to Geek Riot after we're done.
Well, thank you very much for that. The one question I did have for you guys, Dick had a story, I think it was yesterday, about the whole antivirus thing on the Mac. And I was wondering, do you think, you know, now all of a sudden people are going to start running out and buying antivirus for Mac, or?
I'm not. I'm not worried yet either.
I mean, do you really think that the big issue with that is that now people are going to try and make viruses for Macs, or do you just think that it really is that secure and it's not necessary?
I think that's a tough question to answer. It certainly helps that it's not been a target. I think that Mac is inherently more secure, but that doesn't mean you can't write a virus for it. I'm sure people will try. There's not much percentage in it right now, and there won't be for some time to come. In fact, in some ways, I think as Mac users, we might prefer that it stay at 5% of the market share. We don't want it to be a problem. Now, Sean, you run over to Geek Riot because Brian just told me that the riot is live and your show is on. So I'm going to let you go right now. Let's see. This is not, by the way, call for help, right?
No.
No, we're not going to do too many calls for help on here. In fact, I don't intend to at all. We'd like to talk about the net. Genuine 240. Hello, Genuine.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Hi there.
How are you guys doing this evening? That was pretty unbelievable when you unmuted everyone. It was completely, I was almost like static. There was so much traffic on the line. I just sat there and laughed.
I don't think actually I got it recorded, so I'm going to try it one more time before we go. So if you're on the line on the phone, hang on. There are
at the end, yeah.
There are 36 people on the phone, and we'll end the show with all of you saying
goodbye.
Yeah, good. Yeah, well, we have to think of a closeout, Amber, for the show. I don't know.
What's your outro?
Yeah, we have to think of something.
That's it. We'll see you next week on Net at Night. Or I don't know. We'll just ask everybody to shout Net at Night all at once. So prepare that.
Good. Yeah.
It sounds like a bad horror movie. That's all I hear.
So on your cruise, Derek's story was on the cruise also?
Derek is great. He's a wonderful photographer, had some great underwater photos, and actually showed, Amber, you're not going to believe this, you know, he did a lot of snorkeling and scuba-ing and got some great underwater photos, and usually with underwater photos, a lot of color correction is needed. They're very green, and with appropriate color correction, they can look gorgeous. He said, well, you know, all I do is I use the iPhoto One Touch Enhance button, and he showed us, and it was amazing.
Oh, wow.
He talked about that camera that he's using. And
it's a Canon SD700, I think he was
with
using.
With the Canon enclosure. I listened to his podcast, and he talked about that. And he mentioned, I think when he was in Hawaii, he was using it. So this isn't the first time he
beautiful.
Had the camera out. And
beautiful photos.
Pictures on his blog. I mean, he just had one underwater picture there and a couple other ones from the cruise. Were spectacular. I enjoy listening to his program.
I highly agree. What is his podcast? Are you talking about? He's part of course, of the iLife Zone, but
the Digital Story.
Digital Story. Okay, that's the digitalstory.com.
If you go to the digitalstory.com, and then I think it's Story Photo, and he is involved in so many different photography things and technology.
Yeah, he's great.
A Mac guy, and it's just a riot to listen to him, and it's funny to listen to him on iLife Zone too.
Yeah, he is I should have mentioned him because he really is a great guy, and we had a lot of fun with him on. He does a lot of Geek Cruises. I had a lot of fun with him on the Geek Cruise. Thank you, Genuine 240. Can we do? I'll tell you what. We're going to do 5 more minutes of calls. Okay, Amber.
Yeah, no problem. And then I'm going to go through. Actually, have some MySpace comments that I would just want to run.
Okay, that'd be great. Why don't you do that now?
Okay, cool.
Because I know you want to get to Strombo before he's off the air, and he's only...
Leo, you're blowing my cover.
Okay, MySpace comments.
I'm just bugging you. So we just have a couple people here. Someone had written into me on MySpace and asked what I preferred, MySpace or Facebook. I don't know, Leo, if you've tried Facebook at all.
Haven't.
I just signed up last week. Okay, so I don't necessarily have a good answer for them, but this is from Richard, who's online now. And all I know is that I went to a panel a few weeks ago with a bunch of teenagers between the ages of, say, 16 and 19, and they were saying that MySpace is so last year. and Facebook is really the new thing. And they were all talking about Facebook. They were all on Facebook. So, you know, they had kind of put MySpace way behind them. So it's now, Facebook is now open to the public. So you can, anyone can sign up and try it out. And I just did it last week. So eventually I'll have a better review of it. But
I hear that it's much better designed. It looks a lot better than MySpace does.
Yeah, it definitely looks a lot better. But I think it's more about who's on there, you know,
right.
Because MySpace is the biggest disaster. Facebook is better designed, but it's still not fantastic. So it's really about, you know, where your friends are, what groups of people are
absolutely.
These sites. So
still, people still use AOL just because that's where all their friends are. You know, I mean, that's that has a lot to do with it, the network effect.
It really does.
Any other,
right, so
any
do you
other comments?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few just people wanting to know if the show will be available for download.
It will.
It will on Tuesday.
Just as always, you can go to twit.tv, okay. Our website. There'll be links on Amber's site as well as Net at Night's site, which is natn.tv. The links will be there on natn.tv very quickly tonight after the show. But full show notes will be available on Tuesday. I'm going to edit it down and produce it, and it'll be, it still is going to come out on the Inside the Net feed for a little while until we set up a Net at Night feed. And I think I'm going to keep Inside the Net's feed around for the occasional interview that we may want to do. Because as you can see, I mean, it was fun having Steve Chen, but you don't have as much time and you can't get as much depth.
I know.
Which is fine. I mean, this is a different kind of show. I like the liveness of it.
I love it. It's great. Especially when you can just randomly start calling people and they have no idea.
I think that's what we should do. We should really make this, you know, be like those DJs who do those wild prank calls. We're just prank calling. It'll be Amber's prank calling the big shots in the
team. I'll have to hang my head when I walk down the street. People won't be liking me so much anymore.
A couple of real quick calls here. Sonic DH, hello. Welcome to Net at Night.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God for what?
I was number three. When everybody got kicked off the queue originally, I was number three. I was hanging on.
And you made it. You made it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's awesome. All right.
Now make it worthwhile. Have something great, important, and significant to say.
Firefox 3.0.
We just got 2.0.
Yeah, there is apparently an alpha version available for download. I don't have the link, but I know how you can get the link.
You want to tell us?
Tell us. Leo and I.
Go to forum.desync.com and then click general. In there is a topic called Firefox 3.0. I'm Sonic on the forum. I do the Desync podcast there. And
did you say that URL again?
I'm going to put it in the show notes. It's Desync, okay. D-E-S-Y-N-C.
.com. Right. I'll type out the URL in the chat.
I already have it. I'm there, man. I am already right. There. Here, I'll put it
right
in the chat
on.
For you.
Okay.
I'm a fast typist. Watch that. There we go.
Oh, I'm there too. Okay.
I'll put this in our show notes as always.
All right. And yeah, I haven't downloaded it yet because I'm running on a Pentium 2 with Windows XP Pro on it.
Well, didn't we talk, Amber, with Mike and Mike about Firefox 3, and they said, yeah, it leaked out, but it really wasn't the real Firefox 3, and
I remember that.
This is a Mozilla FTP server, so.
Yeah. Well, it's the latest trunk. It's the build. But they said even at the time, this is not anything close to what 3 is going to be. But, of course, that was before 2 came out. Now that 2's out, I'm sure development on 3 is moving pretty quickly. What do you think of 2, Sonic DH? Do you like Firefox 2?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it broke a couple of my plugins, but it's pretty good. I mean, I have Firefox 1.5 from portable apps on my jump drive, but 2.0 is awesome.
I was hesitant to download 2 because I was afraid of my extensions, but all my extensions were updated, including the one I use most, which is the Delicious extension. Are you using 2 yet, Amber?
Oh, yeah. I love 2. I love the inline spell check if you're leaving comments on people's blogs or in any forums. I absolutely love that. And the way the tabs are working now, where they kind of extend and you can use little arrows on the side.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. In fact, I just got my roommate to download it recently, and I've been it's great. You know, it's just a nice, slick product, and just a few minor changes, but
it's not that different. It doesn't
it's
seem.
Worth it.
Is
yeah,
it, is it much faster? I can't really tell.
I can't tell so much.
Yeah.
I think it's just more some of the little features that if you're sort of a power browser, which I think I would consider myself and you as well, Leo, is that it makes your whole surfing experience easier. You can do more in one browser. And
I do like that.
I think
fact
what we all want.
You can close a tab from the X in the tab, which
you know, I mean, that's a little, it's an awfully little thing.
Yeah, but now when I go back to using another browser, like now, sometimes I open IE on a computer at work and I just, you know, I feel sick.
Well, I always feel sick when I open IE. I'll tell you what, we should wrap this thing up because we're 22 minutes over. And I think also we pretty much had a great show and there's no reason to prolong it.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. And hopefully next week it'll be even better. Although Steve Chen, that's pretty, that was a good moment.
you're going to have to get somebody really big for the next one. All right.
Leo, man, I don't know. We should have started with someone small. Like.
Pressure's on. Pressure's on. Amber MacArthur, always a pleasure. You should watch her on City News International if you are in Canada. It's on City Pulse 24 at 7 o'clock Eastern Time.
Actually, it's at 8 o'clock now in Toronto, but across the country it airs at a different time. But
oh, okay.
You can go to citynews.ca/international, and all my segments are online as well.
That's how I watch it, because of course I'm not in Canada, and I watch your segments, and they're great. They're really well done. You really, you've got the knack, I have to say. As much as we miss you on Call for Help, I'm really just, you're doing such a great job. And of course, AmberMack.com is her blog. Our website is natn.tv, and you'll find this show along with the 16 other great podcasts at twit.tv, twit.tv. This is part of the Twit family of podcasts and the very first live Twit. And I think we survived, Amber.
We did. It's so much fun. Someone else commented on my blog. His name is maybe Jose or Josu. He said that it's so much fun knowing it's live. It makes it all the more interesting. And I have to agree 100%. It's just, you don't know what's going to happen, Leo.
And look for a package in the mail, Amber. I'm sending you a Heil PR40 microphone by FedEx.
Oh,
so
you.
You'll have it for next week. Because this is so much fun. I want this to just sound as good as it can and be as good as it can. We thank everybody who joined us in chat. Probably over 100 of you. I can't see the count. And all of the people who did try to call in, over 36 callers still on hold. And of course, we're not going to be able to talk to everybody at any time. But we will do more calls next time because I'm sure we'll be able to get this working great. We thank you so much.
I'm unmuted.
Oh, you're unmuted.
Well, hey, it's the Gizwiz guy. You unmuted me.
Well, I picked you up and you weren't there. So say your piece. Say goodbye.
Well, at least I can honestly say I was your first guest somewhat.
You were. We tested the phone with the Gizwiz guy.
Yeah. And you finished my sentence. You were correct. Next best thing since sliced bread.
That was what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say.
I guessed right.
Guests, I was wondering if you would ever have the maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo, on your show
sure.
in the near future. That
sure.
would be great to hear him interact with both you and Amber.
Amber loves Dick, I know, because he's been on the Call for Help many times.
Yeah, you guys are doing a terrific
job. Yeah, he's great.
This is unbelievable. I think this is podcasting 2.0.
I don't know what it is. I'll tell you what, here I'm going to do it again. I'm going to unmute everybody as we say goodnight. I want everybody to say good night from Net at Night. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Good night from Net at Night.
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 Well, thanks for joining us for episode 1 of Net at Night. Remember, if you'd like to participate, visit TalkShoe.com, TalkShoe.com, and download the client software if you want to chat. If you want to call in, you'll need a PIN. You might want to sign up for that before the show begins. Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 0200 Greenwich Mean Time. If you'd like to suggest a story for Net at Night, just tag it on Delicious with the tag NATM. And for links to all the things we talked about on tonight's show and future shows, visit our website, natn.tv. And of course, thanks as always to our sponsor, Dell, for providing major financial support for this program. We recommend, if you're looking for a new Windows PC, you visit Dell. In fact, start with the Leo's Picks page. That's twit.tv/Dell. You buy a Dell computer by clicking on a link on that page. We get credit for it. We really appreciate it. Thanks to Dell for their support. Remember, twit.tv/Dell. I'm your announcer, Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us on Net at Night. We'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.